Would you open the Holy Scriptures with me to Proverbs chapter 4? God's Word we read this morning in Proverbs 4. We hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking, and the text on the occasion of the baptism will be the verses 14 through 19. Reading the Holy Word of God in Proverbs 4, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." May God write the word where he alone can write it, in our hearts. I'd like to read the text one more time. Verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Ryan and Megan and Brad and Kelsey, as first-time covenant parents of sons, God this morning is speaking to you, your Heavenly Father, and He is saying to you, warn your son of the way of the wicked and warn them against the path of evil men. In this chapter, Solomon began by reminding us of what his father David said to him when he was a boy. He says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me." And you remember, Solomon was born after the death of David and Bathsheba's first son, and after the terrible fall of David. And so we can well imagine both of them, how earnest they were, how from the heart they were when they taught Solomon as a little boy and told him he must love wisdom. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is not simply a virtue. It's not simply an activity of the mind. It's not simply a good judgment. But wisdom in the book of Proverbs is Jesus Christ. I'm not going to labor to show you that. Again, if you want to see that clearly, you need only to read the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ are the treasures of wisdom. In Him is the fullness of God's wisdom bodily. If you lack wisdom, ask of Him. Wisdom is to be found only connected by a true faith to Jesus Christ. And now out of Jesus Christ, you as parents are called in the chapter and in all of Scripture, you are called as covenant parents this morning to teach your sons, to teach them good doctrine, to give them good instruction, to teach them the meaning of baptism and the covenant of God and the Christian life. Every aspect of the Bible and every aspect of the Christian life is to be your teaching. But now we are being reminded in our text that vital to that teaching is also warning, that we bring not rants, not raves, but biblical, heartfelt, constant warning to our children at every age of their life to warn them of the path of the wicked. Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, bring up your children in the nurture, teaching them, and admonition of the Lord." And we ask now, why is this aspect of admonition, this aspect of warning, so important for us as parents, covenant parents, to bring to our sons and daughters, to bring it to them at an ever-increasing smaller age, to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord? Well, the reasons, the first one is obvious to us, because of the wicked world in which we are living. We are living in the last days. The Word of God says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers," those who draw away from God, "shall wax worse and worse." Jesus Christ said at the end of the world that iniquity shall abound, and the result of the iniquity abounding will be that the love of many will wax cold. Is our love waxing cold because of the depravity of this world in which we live, our own flesh? And because every sin is being paraded and glorified before the world today, it is utmost important that we bring our children up in the warnings, the wise, penetrating, loving, consistent warnings of the Word of God. It's not uncommon now, especially in the last while when parents have had their first child, for them to say, "It takes faith in our day to even have children. It takes faith." And so what are we to do as parents? Are we to throw up our hands before the wickedness of the world and say, "Well, it's everywhere"? Are we to turn our blind eye? Are we to Are we to say, well, we went astray when we were young, and they will perhaps too. Shall we excuse ourselves? Shall we excuse a sinful way? Shall we get caught up with all the pleasures of this world and of ourselves and neglect our calling? No, we must warn our sons, backed up by our own life, of the path of the wicked, and we must show them the path of the just. But there's another reason why we must admonish them and we must bring them warnings. And that is not only because of the wicked world in which we live, but the other reason is that God's grace in the covenant is conferred through admonition and through warning. Not rants, not rages, but skillful, consistent admonition. God, here's the words you need to understand, we all do. God preserves his covenant in the way, in generations, through admonitions. That's how he does it. There's a truth of preservation at work in our text. Warn, because this is the way that God preserves the coming generation in the covenant. We read in Canons 5, the Canons of Dort, 5 points of Calvinism, the fifth head, preservation of the saints, Canons 5, verse 14, we read these words, "And as it hath pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to begin the work of grace in us, so he preserves, continues, and perfects it by the hearing and reading of his word, by meditation, and by exhortation and threatenings and promises, as well as by the use of the sacraments." God works his preserving grace through the warnings that parents give in Christ to their children. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke." I call your attention to warning our sons of the path of the wicked. Solomon is seeking to give his son not simply into a look at the behavior of the wicked around him, but he wants his son to be able to see the heart and the reason for the path of the wicked. Not just the outward path, but the heart that walks on that path. That's what he wants to show his children. The heart of wicked and evil men as they walk in this world. And so that tells us, again, that we are not only to teach our children about God and about Jesus Christ, about sound Reformed doctrine. We are not only to tell them of salvation, but we are also to teach them of the heart of an unbeliever and what motivates them in their wickedness and in their path of evil. And that we are to do that not simply from our own experiences and from the scars that we bear over our sins. Yes, that comes in, but we are to do that from the Word of God. We are to have the Word of God and bring the warning of the Word of God concerning the path of the wicked. And I just want to pause for just a moment. Have you thought about that as a father? Have you thought about that as a mother? Have you thought about the fact that the path of the wicked that is all around us, that you must be explaining to your children, constantly warning them of that path and telling them why the wicked are doing what they are doing? And you are to do that, and I will be saying this many times, at the earliest of all ages. You must constantly be warning them. There are two things that this scripture brings out that we warn about the path of the wicked and the way of the evil. And they are both found in verses 16 and 17. "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." The first thing this word of God teaches us is that we must warn or tell our children that the wicked have an insatiable thirst for sin, that they have a hunger that cannot be satisfied because sin, and this is also true of us, sin cannot satisfy. And when you're given over to sin, you can't get enough of it. And so Solomon says, warn your son of the fact that the wicked have an insatiable thirst. They have a love for sin. No matter how much they indulge and get, it is never enough. It will always leave them wanting more. That's what's going on in their life. He says sin is a priority in their life, for they sleep not. They can't call it a day, except they have done mischief, unless they have served their own carnal lust. They can't call it a good day unless they have done that. He says they live off of sin. They eat the bread of wickedness. Bread is the staple food. The staple food for their soul is some delight in wickedness, something of self, something of pride. They drink the wine of violence. They satisfy their thirst, they think, with violent sins, perverse sins. They live off of sin. And this means, of course, that apart from God's grace, a man does not love God and does not live for the glory of God, but lives, apart from God's grace, we would live for ourselves, not God. And then we would say that the only way to get good and the only way to please self and the only way to glorify self is sin. And so they thirst for it, but they're never satisfied. And why? Well, that's verse 19. Why do they do this? The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And darkness here, and these words are intentional by the Holy Spirit, darkness here stands for unbelief. Jesus made very plain that darkness is unbelief and that he is light, and that a man who does not believe in him will stumble over him, he said. Let me read you John 3, verses 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light, that's Christ, has come into the world, and men, all of us by nature, but men, love darkness rather than that light. Why did they love the darkness? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. And so they stumble. So we teach them, we warn them, son, here's the difference. The light of Christ. Apart from that light of Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, a man walks in darkness. He is motivated only by a love of sin, a love of himself. And so you teach that to them practically. We teach it with the right perspective. We must not have this teaching appear to the world and appear to others as if we are looking down our nose. Always teach our children humility, that we are conceited and arrogant and we are better than everybody else. No, we teach our children as they play in their neighborhood, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that means that you are concerned as a little boy and little girl that the light of Jesus Christ is shining. But you need to know this. You need to know this as a little girl, a little boy. Those who are apart from Christ, the wicked, have an insatiable. They're always hungry. for sin. And number two, we must teach our children pointedly that the path of the wicked will consume, that it will destroy, that it will bring a person into woe and into destruction. The picture is of one who is obsessed. The picture in the text is one of one who is driven. They can't sleep. Verse 16, their sleep is taken away unless they have caused someone to fall. They can't get to sleep unless they do this. The point is, sin, what the Word of God is teaching us, is that sin grows. Sin gets worse. Apart from the grace of God and apart from confronting and fighting your sin, it always will get worse. Sin is a cancer which intends to consume everything. Sin is an infection. Sin is a wildfire. It keeps burning. It wants more to burn. And so Solomon is teaching, teach your children that sin only gets worse and worse. It will consume. It will destroy. We see that in addictions. We see that in the sins of vice. We see that in the sin of lust and pornography. It consumes. It destroys, even physically. Alcohol gets a grip, not simply biologically, but it gets a grip on the heart and where I seek comfort and ease. Cursing, swearing under the breath at first and then right out loud with everybody around me. Selfishness and greed, all of these sins are like a python. You be very descriptive to your children, a great big python snake which gets a hold and will swallow and will suck in the entire life of that person. It does not let go. Envy and jealousy and sinful rage don't let go. Walk not the path of evil men. Avoid it. Stay away. Because the text is also telling us that this sin and sinners want company. I'm going to use a word, they're very evangelistic on their sin. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. And so we say, son, that path of that wicked man is a temptation to you. He wants you with them. And if you will indicate that you're cool with that, you're okay with what they're doing. And again, not that you have shown yourself arrogant, but you are humbly witnessing. But if you don't witness and you say, yeah, I'm okay with that, they will have good things to say about you. But if you, son, if you show in Jesus Christ that no, that's not okay, then they will ridicule you. You tell your children, it is not so that sin and this world is tolerant. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. We're just all out for tolerance. That's a lie. Sin is intolerant. And the way of the wicked will demand that you either join them or they will seek to destroy you ultimately. And then you say, son, Jesus Christ can satisfy his life. Don't feed the old man. And now you're beginning to communicate as they grow older. And as you taught them, you say, don't, that sinful man in you, don't feed that. Don't feed it with the music. What music are you listening to? What is it feeding? Be honest with yourself as a young person. What is the music you listen to feeding? It can feed only one of two. the old man or the new man. The phone, the use of your phone, and your in our desire to go to it, what are we seeking to have fed in that phone? Son, go not the path of the wicked. We must warn them of the path of evil men. And so, in verses 14 and 15, we have the urgent call of God's grace. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't experiment. Don't loiter on the edge. Don't get complacent, but put distance between your heart and your life from the path of wicked men. Don't play around. Now, if you don't think that this is an urgent warning, then I would have you just look at that warning again and remind you that this is not overreaction, that this is the inspired Holy Scripture. It is God Himself and His Son who is speaking to us. Listen. How many times will he say it? Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. That's number three. Pass not by. That's four. Turn from it. Five. Pass away. Six times. The Holy Spirit says, get away. Don't take that first step. And if you have, get out now. Don't go near. And so we talk to our children from the early kindergarten before, because the world is talking to them. You go to the library. The world wants to talk to them, wants to instruct them, wants to teach them the way of the wicked. And so at the earliest ages, we begin to teach them. We must not be wrongly shy here about saying, teaching our children, don't go near pornography. If you leave your phone on the table, don't think that a little infant, a little kindergartner, a first grader can't figure that out. Don't go near pornography. Boys, don't go near curse words. Boys, don't begin to joke and call other people by sexual sins and think you're cool and you're accept. Don't go near it. Don't enter the path of the wicked. It's not funny. You can't get that off your mind, your soul. Those things that you see, those words that you've heard, you can hide it from your parents, but you can't get it off your mind. This is urgent. This is urgent for junior high boys. This is urgent for you in your high school years. Don't go the path of the wicked. Don't dabble with it. Don't think it's not a big deal. Oh, it will. Don't worry, Dad. Don't get close to it. Don't watch it. The Bible says that these are fiery darts. It says to us, take the shield of faith against the fiery darts of the wicked. It's a fiery dart. It's a little one. You'll think, oh. It's a fiery dart that's going to stick. And it's going to seek to determine the whole course of your life. Don't be tempted by the thrill. Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain is referring to eating, about what you choose to eat. You say, I don't eat that. I can't eat that. I won't eat that. Well, the ways of wicked men, don't eat it, because you will become what you eat spiritually. But rather, the Bible says to us as young men, as boys, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, pursue follow after righteousness, godliness, charity with them that call on the name of the Lord. Friendships from first kindergarten and third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade. Friendships, boys and young men, that are truly and unashamedly in Jesus Christ. That's the heart of it. And why? Why so urgent? Well, Solomon is, of course, a very graphic teacher, and the words of the Holy Spirit are always graphic. And you'll note that the path of the just is described as an upward path in verse 18, and the path of the wicked is being described as a downward path. But the word path is referring here something like a sand dune. It's easy to run down. It's not easy to get back up, but it's even worse than that. It's referring to a canyon, like in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Slate stone, you're standing on a peak and way down there, and you don't see the different cliffs. And for some insane reason, you decide, oh, let's just see how it is to go down there. And you begin to slide, and rocks begin to slide, and you get to a position you can't get back up. They need to get a helicopter to rescue you. That's the way the path of the wicked is like. Sin becomes a life of its own, and down we go. And apart from the grace of God, we are carried down, and we are scraped and bruised and broken and shattered on rocks. It takes a miracle of God's grace to find us and to bring us home. It takes a miracle of God's grace to preserve every one of us and our children. Take it serious. Use the Holy Scripture. Teach them about Lot, of how he saw the rolling green hills near Sodom. And he was a young man who had purpose. He knew what he wanted. He wanted more of this world. And so he moved and he tolerated Sodom and Gomorrah. He set his tent towards Sodom. After a while, he was in Sodom. And it took angels to grab him by the hand and get him out. And then even as he was leaving, and Lot was a righteous man. He was a child of God. But even when he was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, we're fleeing, but can we stop at these little cities here? Little cities that were in league with Sodom and Gomorrah. They're just little ones. Can we go there? And so we teach them. We teach them by knowing our children's weaknesses. Each of our children are different, and we are called to be those wise shepherds in Jesus Christ. And their weaknesses are probably the things that frustrate you, just really frustrate you about your child. But then you've identified their weakness, and as a parent, you are there to help them with that weakness and to show them their weakness and to help them in ways of fighting that weakness. It may be a temper. It may be that one of them is simply a follower. He wants to please people. It may be that they are procrastinators. You live with them. You love them. You teach them. Yes. You read the Bible to them at the table every day. Yes. But you need to also teach them about themselves. And you need to warn them. Warn them of consequences. We need to warn our young people of consequences. The story is told, it's probably apocryphal, that a son came home and talked to his mother and said, "Yeah, I would like to go with my friends. We're going to watch a movie tonight, a movie something like the Indiana Jones type things. And yeah, Mom, there's going to be a little sex scene in there, but we just like it for the thrills and all the rest." And so when her son came home from school the night that he was going to go do that, she had made, maybe you heard this already, she had made this pan of brownies. And this is what you can have when you come home from school tonight, a pan of brownies, wonderful brownies. And she said, "Oh, by the way, you didn't pick up the dog poop from the yard as you were supposed to this morning. And I took some of it and put it in the brownies, but I just put a little bit, just a little bit of dog poop in your brownies, just a little bit. It's just a little bit." No, it's not. It's a path. It's a way. It's got teeth. And so our teaching needs to be pointed. It needs to be preventative. We don't wait till something happens. We don't wait till they're, I've been saying this morning, till they're in fourth grade, till they're in fifth grade, till they're in third grade. We don't wait. First graders have seen more of the way of the wicked than perhaps anybody here over 60 years old. We would look back at our childhood and we didn't see that. We weren't even aware of that. But now first graders and kindergartens have seen it. Talk to them about it. Explain it and warn them from God's word. But beloved, we must not simply this morning emphasize the warning and the negatives. We need to. But you see, unless we have the gospel, that gospel of grace in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have absolutely nothing. Because it's not simply the warning. It's not simply reformation of character. It's not simply re-educating. These things are ineffectual against the spiritual battle in which we live. Yes, we must teach them, but we must, and warn them, but we must always, at the center of our life, have that precious gospel of Jesus Christ, which is represented this morning in infant baptism, the rich grace of God. And so, verse 18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." So it's not just, "Don't go that way." If that's all we say, "Don't go that way." Go this way. Here's satisfaction. Here's peace. Here, by God's grace, is a life without regret. It's called the path of the just. And now note the comparisons. I brought out one comparison already. The way of the wicked, that's downhill. The way of the just is going up to the perfect day. The way of the wicked, that's dark. The way of the just is light, and that light is Jesus Christ. The path of the just is as a shining light. He's the shining light. The way of evil men, that's going to get worse and worse. But the path of the just gets better and better. Is to walk with the Lord, and it's to walk in the company of the light of Jesus Christ. It's a perfect way. It ends in heaven. The way of the wicked ends in hell. it ends in destruction, but the way of the just, made righteous in Jesus Christ, repentant, that is the way that leads to glory. So we tell them unashamedly of heaven, and we tell them of that wonderful grace of God in our lives, and this becomes their motivation for their life. We warn, but we also then walk with our children in the light of Jesus Christ. I took with me this program from this past week or a week ago, Tuesday, at Heritage School. The selection of the 5th and 6th grade. Living in the light of Jesus, I will live in the light, you sang. He will lead me step by step, and I will do what's right. I will follow him and leave the darkness behind. I will live in the light. And then 5th and 6th graders, you went on to sing, may the works of my hands and the path that I walk be pleasing unto thee, O God. For thou art my Redeemer, the rock of my salvation. I long to bring thee honor in all that I say and all that I do. That's the path of the just. And then the 7th and 8th grade, you sang these words to working on the tune, Jesus Loves Me. But what about my doubts and fears? How have I changed throughout the years? When I cry out, does he hear? Yes, Jesus loves me, walking with me on my way. Yes, I never walk alone. Light and love he gives me as his own. May we as parents and congregation, and each and every one of us, be warned of the path of the wicked this morning. And in the wisdom that is from on high, through Jesus Christ, by grace alone, may we walk the path of the just to our peace and to God's glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we have stumbled, we have heard thy word that is imperfectly, and yet, O Lord, it is thy word, and thou art pleased through the foolishness of preaching by the Holy Spirit to give a power greater than our sin and greater than that path of wickedness. Turn us, O God, and we shall be turned. And give us not to live in fear in our families, but give us to live in trust in Christ and in the love of Christ, to hold him up without shame, and to teach our children and to warn them of the path of the wicked and the way of evil men. In Jesus' name, amen.